Hi everyone, I'm Natalie Castillo. Welcome back to Fearless Biblical Femininity. This podcast episode will cover what is biblical femininity and will feature Emily Guerrero as a guest. We will talk about what the Bible has to say, what biblical femininity is, and what are the attributes of a godly woman. Also, how busy college women can incorporate simple daily things with the Lord to become more of a godly woman. Without further ado, let's start. Thank you, Emily, for taking the time to be a guest on my second episode of Fearless Biblical Femininity.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in. To recap what biblical femininity is, it is the godly role of a woman that the Lord has given us, which is explained primarily in chapter 31 in the book of Proverbs. Some of the attributes of a godly woman are that she loves others and speaks faithfully with godly wisdom, boldness, and kindness as a faithful completer of others. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Meaning that we have a God-given instinct as a woman to be helpful and nurturing to others, especially to our family, future husband, and friends. As explained in scripture to support what I just said, in Proverbs 31, verse 26, it says, "He opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue," meaning she speaks life to others and uplifts them with kind and encouraging words. So Emily, what do you think of when you hear the question, what is biblical femininity?
That's a great question. What I think of is probably how a woman presents herself in the Bible. So you talked about being nurturing and just embracing more of her feminine side. And I think it also plays a role in like how we act and like how we dress. So like taking into consideration like why we wear certain outfits. Are we doing it for like the approval or attention of other people? Then maybe it's not something that we should wear if we're trying to get a certain attention, negative attention from someone. But I think it's also just how you present yourself of being kind and nurturing to people and just embracing that and something that can be empowering.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it comes down to fulfilling and embracing, you know, the role that God has given us, especially how it explains it in Proverbs 31 of the attributes of a godly woman, you know, that she fears the Lord and that, you know, she is kind and that, most importantly, you know, she loves others as Jesus would and that she seeks the Lord above all else and that you're able to see that in her actions and the way she treats others on a daily basis. So I definitely agree with what you said. And what it really comes down to the core of it, is our heart posture. So basically, how our personality is, like how we're treating others, and then that's like the primary core of everything, and then it also leaks into our attire, you know, how, as you said, how are we presenting ourselves, you know, if we're using clothing that is very provocative and that is distracting and becoming a stumbling block to men, then, you know, that is a red flag and we have to reassess, you know, what we're doing. So I think it's a natural ripple effect if we're, you know, flourishing in our femininity as a woman that God has given us, then we will want to be modest and basically honor him in everything that we do, including our dressing.
Yeah, I think you put that really nicely.
So another attribute of a godly woman is that she seeks the Lord first. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 through 34, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So basically, a woman of God honors the Lord by being in communion with Him continuously and not conforming to what other people say or what the worldly standards are. And another attribute is to show our true beauty through our heart posture. Our looks fade, but our character always will remain. As women of God, we should invest in what lasts, which is strengthening our character and growing in the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. We should always remember that a beautiful personality will shine through even in our old age. For example, a verse that strongly supports what was just said is in Proverbs 31, verse 30. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." So I think that is just such like a powerful verse that is in Proverbs 31. So it really captures how the outside appearance can be deceitful and it's not always what it looks like. So essentially, don't judge a book by its cover. And that, you know, we shouldn't only just focus on our outward appearance, but also tend to our personality and developing and strengthening our overall character. What are your thoughts on that, Emily? On Proverbs 31 and how we should tend to our personality and how our character is what matters over our appearance.
Definitely, because like you were saying, sorry, my had to clear my throat. But yes, looks fade, like you were saying, and they don't have much substance. It's more about character and personality and who you are and how you treat others. That is something that we should value and look for. And that is something that we should take more time to nurture, is our character, not our looks. Do we spend more time on like on our outward appearance rather than looking inward and seeing what needs to be fixed and what needs to be, you know, done within us to draw closer to God?
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that. I think like there is no, you know, a point in our outward appearance if your personality is terrible or if you're mean or if you're cruel. So another point that I want to make is that we should reject the lie that anything or anything else can satisfy us other than Jesus himself, because he's our maker and loves us unconditionally. And we won't be complete without knowing him. And also that being attractive on the outside is a bonus, but it shouldn't be all that matters and determine who we are entirely. So Emily, a question for you is, do you find it challenging to spend time with Jesus in a busy college schedule?
Definitely. I feel like sometimes I put it off and don't make it a priority like I should, but it's about making time for it. Even though like my schedule is busy, I feel like I'm always going to have a busy schedule even outside of college. So it's about making time for things that matter and that are important to you. And so sometimes I put it off, which is not a good thing. And I need to get better at managing my time well so I can make, like, spending time, in, like, in the Bible and praying.
Yeah, I definitely feel convicted and entirely relate to that as well. I definitely notice that I have, like, periods of time and there's seasons where I'm really consistent with spending time with the Lord. And then there's times where, I get off track and I get so caught up in the busyness of college life, you know, that it's a challenge to be consistent with spending daily time with Jesus in the Word and praying to Him, because we get caught up with so many different things that are constantly asking for our attention. For example, you know, school, assignments, friends, family, errands, and other responsibilities that we have. So I think it is a relatable challenge that many Christian women who are in college or just busy in general can relate to. Which leads me into the next question. How do you think, you know, we can add little daily moments to spend time with the Lord during busy college life?
I feel like just waking up earlier in the morning, I'm not a morning person, but just even spending like 5 minutes reading the Bible is better than 0 minutes. So I think just having to like force yourself to get into a habit and routine, and that can be challenging at first, but you kind of have to force yourself to do it. And you know, you can pray on the way to school. Like, you don't have to be like on your knees like praying. You could pray, you know, while you're driving or taking the bus, you know. You can pray throughout the day. It's not something that has to be, you know, on your knees in the morning praying, which is good too, but it doesn't always have to be that way.
Yeah. Personally, for me, I find it convenient to, like, hear the audio Bible and or listen to worship music, like, during the commute to school or to work, because I think it's just, like, very convenient way to, like, slip it in while you're on your way to whatever you have to get to. And then also another thing that we can, like, incorporate that's simple, I think, you know, even when we're putting away laundry, yeah, washing dishes, you know, we can listen to, like, a sermon, or as you said, you know, pray during those little quiet moments that we have. As you said, not everything has to be perfect, where we have to be, you know, in a particular space in a formal manner of doing it. And Emily, when is the easiest time for you, in your opinion, to, like, to spend time with Jesus on a daily basis? Would you say it's in the morning, afternoon, at nighttime, or?
Definitely at nighttime, because I'm not a morning person, and I feel like my mind's a little bit more clear in the evening rather than the morning. But I would like to do it in the morning to, like, get my day started on the right foot of, like, spending time with God. But yeah, I definitely do it at night before bed. That's the most, like, easiest time for me.
Yeah, I would say mine would be in the morning. As you said, it kind of just sets the tone for the day and just gives you, like, the strength to, you know, face whatever obstacles or anything stressful that you have going on throughout that day. So I think that we can also, like, grow in our femininity as a busy godly woman by going through our daily things that we face, such as by treating others as Jesus would treat them, and just being patient with other people on a daily basis. And another thing that I found recently that I enjoy to grow in my femininity and to serve others is having to learn how to cook for other people. And I think it's just, like, a way to grow and being nurturing towards others and being more feminine. And it's fun for me, you know, to see and to put a smile on my friends and family's faces, you know, when I cook something for them. Yeah, recently, like about a month ago, I cooked a Mexican dish of chicken taquitos with, like, rice and beans, and I had a few of my friends over, and it just felt really nice for me to, you know, make something for them that's homemade and to see their reactions of how much they love the food and to serve them, and we were able to create, you know, memories through that. So that is something that I found really enjoyable recently. So is there something, Emily, that you find enjoyable in your journey of growing more feminine?
I feel like cooking would be a good way I could expand on, you know, I don't cook, but I think that's something I could learn and do for others, like you were saying. It can be a way to, like, nurture someone, like your family and friends. And so, like, that is, like, an aspect I would want to grow in. I like baking for people, though. I can't really cook, but I can bake pretty well. And so maybe something like offering cookies to friends and family. That is something that I like to do. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, baking, cooking, you know, just, like, making something for somebody else, I think it's just a really feminine, you know, generous, kind thing to do for somebody. And it also helps you to grow, to be more generous, to grow in your generosity towards others. And for me personally, it's like a joy for me to learn how to cook, because I feel like I'm also preparing for my future marriage to be able to cook for my future husband. So I think that's, it gives me, you know, like a warm feeling inside to know that I'm preparing for that slowly but gradually.
Yeah. People tell me I need to learn how to cook before I get married, so I guess I'm not a good woman because I don't know how to cook. Just kidding.
But yeah, I think just growing in our biblical femininity is a journey, and it's something that in the midst of a busy schedule, especially in college, it can be a little bit overwhelming, you know, to fill those shoes, so to speak. But I think just taking like simple daily things to do, as we mentioned, is going to be helpful, as you know, everyone has their own journey, you know, with the Lord, and you know, growing in their faith as a godly woman. So I think just taking it one step at a time and doing what you can is what matters. So thank you, Emily, for taking the time to be my guest for my second episode of Fearless Biblical Femininity. That concludes the episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you all in the next one.
Bye.